We're live on the Backpack Show.
Welcome to the Backpack Show, where we bring you insights about success from unusual places. Today, we're going to talk about almond yogurt and also grief and emotional wellness.
How we pick them. You know, I mentioned that to people before the show that, you know, we pick you completely.
I explain nothing ever to anyone. But, you know,
grief and yogurt. I mean, emotional wellness is as important as your gut health.
It will make sense.
Maybe more.
It will make sense. We have Matt Billings, founder of AO Almond Yogurt. His family's been in the almond business for generations, and he's got a focus on sustainable farming, wants to pass his children down a more sustainable farm than the one he inherited. So we'll talk to him about that. We'll also talk with Bernadette Pleasant about the Emotional Institute and the free and very helpful grief ritual that she hosts every month to help people during these like crazy town times. So I love them both. I'm very excited about both.
We have a bunch of learning to do today. Let's get into it. Hey, Coach.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
It's Friday.
It is. It's almost Friday. Yeah.
I love how people say that like it makes a difference to me. I'm like, I have children. It makes no difference to me. At all.
I watched a little bit of your oldest child's Twitch stream. Yes,
that's funny.
So we're doing Minecraft.
I'll be like just nodding off, and he gets on Twitch and starts
getting
screaming.
Off the stream. Yeah, that's way past my bedtime, but I watched just a little bit of it.
He's
Hey, Paul, good to see
you. He's such a good kid. He's got such a deep voice.
He has a ridiculously deep voice.
He can Rickroll himself.
He's 15, and you just sit there listening and listening and listening to his voice because it's like Barry White would be like, how do you get your voice so low? That's what I think.
Well, that's what makes for Twitch success. Apparently, it's a deep voice.
So I don't know. I'm back and forth on, you know, it's my biological father, Steve Brogan, has arrived.
You're so
I am just trying to decide on if I want to talk about yogurt or grief first.
How many birthdays do you have?
All of them, Paul.
The fake social media one and the real one, like all of us, Paul.
Obviously. Yesterday was my birthday. The first was LinkedIn's birthday. I celebrate all of the birthdays you want to give me. Today is the birthday of one W. Scott Monty. So if you want to celebrate a real birthday,
he does the best Family Guy impressions I've ever heard.
If Scott Monty wanted to run a TV show where he just did impressions, he could do like 60 of The Simpsons too.
Easily.
He could run a show. You know where he could run it on, though? StreamYard. StreamYard. You can make a show just like this one. We're going to talk about grief and yogurt, not at the same time.
That's a mighty smart graphic.
It is a good-looking graphic. Can you see how the logo and the duck are in no way affected by my little graphic in the corner up there?
I do see that. Congratulations.
I hope Alan Jackson sees it sometime soon. But maybe Alan Jackson doesn't feel like looking at us. Maybe he's not into your face. We could just have him listen to the audio podcast. We have an audio podcast you can listen to. We host it on Castos. Castos.com to make an audio podcast so easy. I think Matt Billings was thinking about making a podcast called Ayo. Listen to this. And that's what he's going to call it. And he can host it on
Castos. That's true.
Probably not true. Okay.
That might not be true.
One last one, and then we're done the ads for right now because I need sponsors. If you want to get a .online domain, you know, pleasant.online is probably available for $1 if you use the code Chris. For one whole year, you can have a domain.
That's crazy. $1. For like 90 something cents.
Yep. cbrogan.me/online is where you go for that. It could be fun. It could be, shall we say.
Paul thought pleasant. You were royalty.
How am I not royalty? There's one less royalty passing of Prince Philip today. Sorry to hear it.
Oh, that was sad. You know, sometimes people discover that they're royalty when they didn't know that. Like Princess Sarah Culberson looked into who her parents were, her biological parents, because she was adopted, and she discovered that she is a princess in Sierra Leone. Her father's the chieftain of the ruling tribe. Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name. The tribe had a really awesome sounding name, too.
They did. I can't remember either, but she's the best. And now she's doing all kinds of work over in Sierra Leone to improve the infrastructure and get water out to villages and stuff, that so they have potable water. It's like really cool.
Yeah, the weird part of the story is she goes, it turns out you're a princess. And in her head, if it was me, I turned out I was a prince, I'd be like, I'm going to be rich. Goes, no.
It's not the first thing you'd think. You'd be like, I'm going to update all my social media profiles.
Prince and not the one from Minneapolis.
Right now. Hi, Len. Love Len.
It turns out, no, she's the other way around. She's helping them get water and all those kinds of things.
Right. She got all the responsibilities and none of the dream houses.
Badblondes.online was available.
Nice.
Okay. Okay.
The first thing I checked was your mom is dot online, and it was taken.
Someone already bought it.
Someone bought it.
Well, so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna start with Bernadette. I wanna talk about grief. So Matt, you have an extra couple minutes. So you know, if you wanna run out in the yard and throw a couple nuts yogurt in the ground, I don't know. He's a farmer, right? Yes. All right. Bernadette Pleasant, hello and welcome.
Hi there. Glad to be here. Thank you.
We need to hear a little bit about your Emotion Institute. We need to hear
about Institute.
Sorry, Emotional Institute, the one, not just any of them, just the one, .com. You are listed as a healer, dancer, and interpreter. Which came first?
I think I started dancing. I think I was dancing in the womb. I'm always dancing and moving. So yeah, I would say that. And healing through movement and dance and just finding all that life in there. Yeah.
So we're not talking the electric slide, I'm guessing.
No, not at all. I am definitely here and yeah. You said we're not talking to you like you're what?
No, I said we're not talking about the electric slide.
No, we're not. I'm actually pretty bad at that.
Me too.
All those steps you got to get right. I'm more of a freeze.
If drunk wedding party goers can do it, I have confidence. But I also feel like it's not something you'd want to do, which I understand fully.
Well, I've practiced. So I've been drunk plenty times at weddings. So
I mean, you have to just get through it.
How we get through a wedding, right?
Yes. But people are experiencing grief now in whole new ways. Like maybe if they had any kind of underlying grief or things they hadn't addressed before, and then they were thrown into the pandemic, lockdown, lots more pressure, lots more kind of togetherness with everyone. Yeah. I feel like all that's gotten harder, and maybe some of those old wounds that never fully healed are going to resurface.
Exactly. You show over. You absolutely nailed it, because that's what's happening because of isolation and fear and worry. On top of not grieving properly. And what that means is, you know, how do you deal with grief? Many people ignore it, medicate it, sleep, shop, sex it away. They don't deal with it. And then a pandemic comes and there's isolation and you're away. And so all of that stuff just kind of adds up and it gets to a breaking point. And if you've never allowed yourself to feel grief because you wanted to distract from feeling this very natural thing, because you've lived, you've loved, you've hoped, you've done the things that, you know, if you lose something like your freedom, your job, your safety, there's grief there. And it's just compounded during these days. So that's why this topic gets discussed. It needs to be discussed.
It's even harder now because you can't do the kind of rituals most people do to get over things. Like they can't have wakes and funerals the way that we did and, you know, get together for a repast or something and talk about the person that passed or whatever. Like you're just supposed to go home and stay socially distanced and like deal with it. It's Irish, you know?
It is completely weird. I have attended virtual funerals. I mean, what is that? And where that becomes the norm, or you're not able to be with someone, so you feel the isolation, and it feels more removed than before. So, yeah, it's definitely compounded during this time.
Oh, wow. So, hey, Jess is here. Jess Tyson is a friend of ours. She says, you are speaking to me, Bernadette. Hey, all this grief for my whole life came up this past year. What are people going to do with this? Jess, so a little sketch of Jess from the outside. Okay. Very energetic, bubbly, helpful. Her job is to help so many people keep their stuff together. Yeah. Her company is all about
keeping a whole
lot of people's business alive when they're falling down. So she just said, my whole world exploded last year while I had to still stay in quarantine. Fix her, Bernadette.
Yeah.
She's a mom.
Here I go. You said she's a mom?
She's a mom, yeah. She's got a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. Mothers have been thrown into to homeschooling or their children being there all the time and having to manage that and figure out this new way of working and how to stay connected through these screens. And I mean, In a way, I think there's a lot of benefit that has come out of new ways of learning, but we miss the old way that was comfortable. And just acknowledging, damn, things have changed. Things have changed. And when there's change, disappointment, and loss, that those are the ingredients that create grief. We have to muster through, work through, push through, get through the day. And so it's a lot of dragging. It's a lot of dragging of our body and spirit to keep showing up behind masks. So the thing to do with this, and Jess, I mean, seriously, is to just acknowledge this place, to give it a name, to say, okay, this is hard. This here, I'm not fine. Like I hope I can curse here. Fuck fine. I'm not fine. I need to say that I'm not okay. And I need to be able to be witnessed in saying that. So rather than put on my, what I call my super suit and go out there and make it happen or show up on that Zoom call and just push, 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 I need to say, you know what? I need a break. I'm tired. This is heavy. I'm going to need to pour in self-care in a way I've never done before because I've never been here before.
Mm. All right. I'm vibrating with one thing you just said that I didn't think about in the whole process. I need to be witnessed.
Yes.
You go just a couple sentences more right there.
Totally. And thanks for mentioning that, because healing only happens by being witnessed. So our safety zone is to grieve privately. We want to pull the covers up. We want to turn the lights off. We cry in the shower, anything that is isolating. The thing about isolating is grief is like this. I have this analogy because people get it. Grief is like stepping in shit. And then if you don't take the shoe off and look at it and say, look what I had. This is what it is. And I'm going to work in this. I'm going to deal in the grooves and clean this out. And as opposed to continue to walk around with that shitty shoe everywhere you go, leaving that mark on everything you do. Everything you do. Being witnessed takes courage, but it allows you to go through the grieving process. If you don't grieve, you have to deaden some part of yourself so that you are not grieving. So my invitation to people is to come, allow this place. You're not going to get stuck there. It's scary because we don't know how to say, this hurts. I need to slow down. I need more rest. I am not okay. And to come to a community place where you can do that is actually just refreshing on the other side. But you have to get through that and be courageous with it.
And people expect you to be fine, it seems like, pretty quickly, especially now. Like, they're all so used to having the waist up Zoom outfit on.
I'm not wearing pants right now. Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. And they look like everything's okay. And it's crazy, like right outside of frame, the whole place is a mess because everything's hard to hold together. Jess has a very long comment. I'll have to
Mike Wazowski
you. Okay, sorry. behind the mask, yes, physically and emotionally behind the mask, fuck fine. Yes, I spent the first half of the pandemic taking care of everyone else and then truly crashed in the fall, emerging now out of my cocoon with the spring flowers. Sick of suffering in silence.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes. Taking care of others, women have a propensity for doing this. We're caregivers. It's what we do. However, we're giving from depletion. And when you give from depletion, you are not giving in the best possible way. You have to fill up. I think of that that froth that comes up on a cappuccino, like that frothy top, that's all you got to give. Do not empty your cup. Mm-hmm. And it is not selfish to not go into that cup. But in order to give in a healthy way, in order to be truly supportive to someone else, you cannot be depleting yourself. And that's, I haven't seen much of that. I've watched people give from depletion and make themselves sick and hit rock bottom and then say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't okay. And what I'd like to do in my work in the world is saying, hey, let's stop doing that. That didn't work for my ancestors, and I know it didn't work for yours. Let's do something different.
There's a lot of joy all over your website that sneaks into that grieving. There's a lot of beauty. mixed in with that grieving. It's interesting. The part I'm looking to is there's so many pictures of people hugging it out with people, and we can't do that right now.
Yeah.
So how am I going to hug myself here, Bernadette? What happens next?
Let me tell you, hugging. It is said that we need 4 hugs a day to survive, 8 hugs a day to maintain, 12 hugs a day for growth. I'm here for the growing, but here's the thing. Our beautiful brains don't know the difference and secrete the same thing, whether you are imagining the hug, describing the hug you want to give to someone, hugging yourself with intention and just being present with that. So we think of hugs as being something that we need from another, and those are wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I am a hugger. I'd be hugging you right now. And we need that kind of contact. But one of the things people have asked me during this time of separation is, what can I do? I can't get to so-and-so. And how about doing something more intimate? How about describing the hug you would like to give to them? Ooh. How about softening into that?
Like soft core texts.
Absolutely. Yes. 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 Absolutely. Yeah. Describe this hug. Describe the hug that you want to receive. It's touch. You know, it's healing, intentional, meaningful, non-judgmental, loving touch. We all need it at any age. It's just what's needed.
So you have a grief ritual that you share, and it's a free online ritual. You let people to come to this, and it's part of the experience. Can you talk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, I do that grief ritual with a wonderful human named Sarah Nix. And we were intending to do a live grief ritual, which I can't wait for the day to come when that happens. But the pandemic hit, and our in-person grief ritual couldn't happen. And we actually just sat and thought that, how can we make this work? I've been doing grief work a long time and was looking forward to that, but things change, you know? And we thought, well, let's put it out virtually and see. And we didn't really advertise it. We put it out. And that's when I found out my Zoom room could only hold 100. I was shocked at how many people came from all over the world, men, women, all ages. They were so grateful to have a place to come to. And you know, you think of a grief ritual. I mean, yes, it is carving out a soft, gentle container for people to come and be in this place, to acknowledge this feeling, to just say, hey, we get it. We're not telling stories of grief in there. We're not doing that, because that actually, what we're doing is just creating a container for people to have this time, this gentle, sweet time where they get to understand that grief is love with nowhere to go. I see you. I hear you. You are not alone. And we generally end the 90-minute event with celebratory dance, because when you have grieved, you actually have some room to be alive, to move, to celebrate something. This is not all about, you know, sad and woe is me. Grieving is considered a heavy topic, but it's a needed topic to get through and to be witnessed in and to just move through. People can be off camera, on camera, whatever they feel like doing. They can dance, move, meditate, rest, just be with like-minded people during that time.
So although we like to make our episodes super evergreen so people can watch them any old time, people who are watching now live, you should know that April 25th is the next grief ritual. So I don't know, how does one sign up? Do they just go to theemotionalinstitute.com and pick it up? What do we do?
Okay. You have to go to Emotional Institute, they register and just come join, share it by all means.
I feel like you should legally change your last name to something more than pleasant. I don't think that really covers it.
Ooh, what are you thinking? Thank something you. Like superstar. I mean, what comes?
I like superstar.
What'd you have in mind?
I don't know. Amazing? Is amazing okay?
Bernadette Spectacular.
And you know what's really funny? When I go get coffee sometime, the barista will say, you know, what's your name? And I'll say, I have fun with that. I'm like, Empress. Oh, nice. Booby God. I just make up shit because, you know.
They can't spell it anyway.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter.
I love your thinking. Listen, stick around if you can. We have a, we're going to talk to Matt, but we'll bring you back. We got some other questions. That's Bernadette Pleasant. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much. Pleasure to be here.
So fun. Who thought I'd have so much fun talking about grieving?
Hey, look who's here.
And hey. Jacob's here. Jacob, future guest next week, I think, or a week after. One of the weeks. Not this coming Monday, but the Monday after this one.
Do you have to get consent from the
adults
in his life?
Okay. I didn't ask anybody. He's going to sneak in and be a, you don't know where your kid is on the internet anymore.
A lot of parents don't. I had to turn notifications on to find out where my kids are on the internet.
I turned on, we'll talk about that some other time.
Let's talk about yogurt.
Let's talk about yogurt, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
Not just any yogurt.
All the good. Ayo, yogurt. Hey, Matt Billings, start there. Why Ayo? What's that mean to me?
I like your song you just sang too. I think that I might have to grab that from you. But we're real original namers over here. So AO is A for almond, YO for yogurt.
Yogurt.
Hippy. I like it.
Do you have an engineering background, Matt?
No creativity.
Almond yogurt. Someone out there's had it already. Some people haven't. People who have gone through the various plant milk, nut milk experience have had almond milk, I'm sure, and they draw their own opinion. What made you say, now this is something I need to start putting together? Talk a little bit about the business behind the why we need this amazing yogurt product.
Yeah, sure. I'm a fourth generation farmer in California, so on two sides of my family. So on my mom's side, my great grandfather came from Croatia and started farming at the turn of the century, previous century. And then on my father's side, the company that I'm working with now is my great grandfather started farming.
Wow.
And 1913, so over 100 years ago. And I'm the third generation farming almonds. So almonds, as you can imagine, they're all over the place. About 80 to 85% of the world's supply comes from California, which is kind of, a lot of people don't know, but it's a commodity and it's really hard as a farmer. No one knows it's our almonds, our family's almonds. So we're proud of our almonds. We grow organic almonds and conventional almonds. And we wanted to get our specific almonds that we grow, we put all our love into people's hands and hopefully they enjoy it as much as us. So that's kind of how, it's a long story. Sorry,
Chris. No, but there's so much more to it. Like when you said that, I was thinking about the 85% of the almonds come from California. That I sort of knew, but didn't really think about the weight of that. You know, one bad crop for you is a lot of people's, you know, not getting milk. That's another thing, right? Like, so for many, 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 many years, almonds were just those things you put in, you know, muffins and things. Almond joy was like the only time you think of the word almond, or Jordan almonds at weddings.
Salads, I kind of like almonds and salads.
Yeah, eventually those, you know, crept in to knock some walnuts out of the way. Like there's probably some war waged behind Billings and his people were sneaking out and saying, those walnuts are bad. Did you know there's even worms in them? Right. But like then
pecans and salads too.
There you go.
I didn't say that.
so then, you know, nut milk becomes a thing. Like suddenly it is everywhere. And soy milk was the first one in there. And then next, you know, almond milk comes in. Your point, it's a super commodity product. The margin, the yield on it. Like if you were to, like, besides your kids who you hope don't listen to this part of the show, you wouldn't say to someone, you should start growing almonds as far as yield goes, right? Like the money you get for the yield. Is that why the product? Is that why we have to do things like that? I mean, so you can innovate, make a business happen.
My wife and I, our oldest son is just getting ready to go to college this coming year. So, and he wants to go into ag and farming. So I question his intelligence, but no, I'm kidding. I mean, it's exciting, but no, it's the profit side's not there because it's a commodity. I mean, some years are really good, some years are bad, and you have to kind of weather the storms. So I think that's what really pushed us. One reason was into making AEO is to try to get something that's a direct connection with a customer and get some brand loyalty, and also be able to share what we think is the best product out there in its category.
I want to go into the yogurt in such depth for a few minutes, but I definitely also want to know, farming is way different than food production. Like, how much did you have to learn to do this, to throw this together? Or do you just have to go find a partner? knows how to make that. You just have to make good judgment. Like, how do you get from guy pulling these nuts out of the ground, guy, you know, milking them for almond milk in the morning in those barns with those little cold hands?
Yeah.
How do you get from that into making almond yogurt?
It's been a real learning curve, and we've been doing it now for what, 14, 15 months. So we had quite a bit of success at the beginning of last year. And then I think COVID hit. So it's probably the second worst time to maybe 1929, the beginning of the Great Depression, to launch a retail brand. But, you know, you learn from your mistakes and you try not to make too big of mistakes and keep going. So that's really what we've done. We've partnered with some great people that have some experience in the yogurt, non-dairy yogurt category. So that's helped a lot.
I didn't even think about this at first, but then I saw that you're launching now like a plain yogurt version of it. Like, you had all these other flavors. You didn't start with the plain.
No,
like,
we started.
You just jumped right to some other flavors. And people were hey.
I think the reason for that is about 80% of all the yogurt sales in the U.S. are the four flavors that we have. So we didn't want to really create something new or come out with acai flavored yogurt or whatever it is, you know, chili yogurt. We said, hey, strawberry, vanilla, peach, and blueberry. People are familiar with those. And I think we wanted to create a real honest product too. And that's, there's so many things now that are trying to be something else, or people are, I think you guys were even with Bernadette touching on that quite a bit. People, people are masquerading to be something else. And with us, we really wanted an almond yogurt. When you taste our yogurt, you'll taste if it's strawberry, or I've got a vanilla right here, you'll taste the vanilla. And right after you taste the vanilla, you'll have a back note of roasted almonds, toasted almonds. So you know it's from almonds. We're not trying to make it and masquerade as a dairy yogurt. We're trying to be upfront and say, hey, it's an almond yogurt.
It looks so good. I'm gonna need some samples, Matt.
And we can do it.
Send me some. I will trade you for some sausage coupons.
Ooh, I like that.
It's actually a good trade. Yeah, we're pals with Johnsonville as well. We convinced Johnsonville to sponsor us beyond their reasons. I'm also super excited about the plain, because a lot of people like me substitute, you know, sour cream for plain yogurt. We do plain because we don't want the sugar profile. However, you know, sort of looking at your label, like any person would roaming in here, you know, you're in the ballpark. Your sugars are only 11 grams, so you're on the lower side of sugar compared to some of those guys. My gosh.
There's a lot of fiber.
A lot of fiber, which really, I mean, the profile of this thing looks really good. People who are super low carb are not, you know, they're not your customer anyway. But, you know, throwing that 4 grams of protein through the almond, I mean, it's a really good profile, I guess, is what I'm trying to say with too many words, Matt. It's
nutritious.
It's the kind of profile that somebody wants. So you want it to taste good and you want it to be honest. But, you know, when someone finds a new yogurt, the first thing they do is flip it over and look it all over, right? It's sure. Amazing. When you started making this, did you go to the old dairy aisle and look at those numbers and be like, 36 grams? Like, you know, it's worse than the cereal aisle.
Oh, no, it's horrible. Yeah. You get a Snickers and a Coke and you're probably still under what some of the yogurts were.
Crazy. You mentioned you had the one kid going to ag. You have what? I think 75 children or something. I think you.
I feel like that's hitting over.
Two boys and a girl. So one just walked in the room just now. You can probably see a shadow in the background.
Shadow.
Yeah, the sun has come up where you are.
Sorry. It's a little contrasty. But so two boys and a girl.
Nice. Did that filter into it? Does that the idea that, you know, you're going to start making this brand that you want your family to have? I mean, there's all this stuff that you see in commercials and it's not real until it's real for you. I'm wondering about like your marketing, your branding. Did it matter? Did the family side of this come into your equations when you were thinking about making the yogurt?
Yeah, no, I think that was right up front every time we've come up with it. I mean, it's part of being honest. I mean, what you see is what you get with us, really. And I think that's what we want to try to push across. I tell the story of I love to cook and love food. And I was in Europe one time in Paris, and there's a mustard store I went to. And you walk in this store, and there's all these little French mothers and grandmothers in there, and they're getting mustard, and they do the fresh mustard out of it. Almost looks like a beer keg. I thought this was the coolest thing in the whole world. And it was this brand I'd never heard of. Anytime a friend or anyone I knew went to Paris, I had them smuggle a bottle of mustard back for me. And then come to find out, it was owned by Unilever. I'm like, Unilever? I thought it was some little small family with this store. So I think that's what we're trying to not be. we're trying to be, like I said, honest, and what you see is what you get.
My little brother and I were in, you just totally put a memory out of my head. We're in the Epcot Center when they did that sort of Worlds of whatever it's called on the other side. When they started having
World
all the
showcase.
World Showcase. So we're in the Morocco one. And my parents had this great plan. They were going to try foods and drinks from every one of those World Showcases.
As you do.
Yeah. So we're in Morocco. And my parents are going nuts over couscous. And so my mom looks up at the waiter and goes, "This is amazing. What is this?" And my little brother leans in. He goes, "Uncle Ben's." Couscous went flying because one thing not to do is like loudly laugh into a bunch of small particles. So anyway, that was what I thought when you said your mustard story. Matt, so you talked about some of the challenges, the things you didn't expect. One of the things I was thinking about is so retail stores in general went up 389% in revenue in all the way across because people started doing their pandemic. You know, quick, it's a panic. We have to stock our shelves.
Can't eat out.
However, here's what happened. Comfort food went through the roof. The worst of the comfort foods. Bologna showed up in everybody's house again for the first time since you learned you shouldn't eat bologna. Canned ham, Spam, those sorts of things. All the things that you are not AO almond yogurt went on the shelf.
The mac and cheese, it's like glue.
Oh my gosh.
It's right back in everybody's pantry.
You have to fight your way into shelves. Retail is the hardest place in the world and nobody knows that. Like if you thought farming was hard, you know, retail yogurt, oh my gosh. What are you getting for guidance and how are you going to work your way onto that?
That's probably been the biggest challenge, honestly, is to try to get brand identity and get on the shelves. So, and the pandemic obviously didn't help at all because people are, like you said, are eating Kraft macaroni and cheese or pizza or things like that. And a lot of shopping, our initial push was to go into more natural whole food type stores. And those had a lot less traffic than the bigger national stores that had everything at the time. And we're just slowly pushing. We're trying to get a lot of momentum in certain markets and then grow from those markets. That's been our strategy now. But really, the brand identity has been the biggest challenge. With COVID, you can't do sampling. So that's been a really a challenge.
You can do coupons.
We do.
Actually, the packaging, when people go back to the stores again, I mean, right now, a lot of people are still using Instacart and stuff, and that complicates things because, you know, people aren't going to like serendipitously find your yogurt, but the packaging is really good. It should stand out pretty well.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to your main page so we can look at it again. That's some really good branding. How did that happen? Who did you get to make your art for you and stuff?
We worked with an agency out of the San Francisco area that has worked on a lot of good things.
Dodger. CPG they're experience, that kind of a thing?
I'm sorry?
That had CPG experience, that sort of a thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Very cool, Matt. This is a... I want you to win. I did have one last question, then we're going to grab Bernadette back for a little panel. When this whole process comes around, is there even a spot for like direct sales? I mean, Instagram sold me a new kind of coffee the other day. It was like a coffee concentrate for iced coffee. You throw 2 tablespoons in your big old...
Was it good?
It's amazing. I'm almost to the bottom of it. It's Javi.
See, I've had the opposite experience with things I bought off Instagram.
This is delicious. I throw 2 tablespoons in some water and I'm cooking. Are you going to do any direct? Or are you thinking about doing any direct? Are you going to do the dreaded Amazon? Or like, what's your plan?
The cold chain is pretty challenging. So we need to, since it's yogurt, we have to keep it cold and in insulated boxes. That's the biggest challenge right now. Amazon does do some, but I don't know. I don't know who the prices you have to pay just to get through all that. It's just easier to go to a store.
It's crazy, isn't it? The whole onboarding onto their platform. They don't talk about that a lot, do they?
No, that's challenging.
Can people subscribe to AO Yogurt? Like, and get it shipped to them yet? Like, if I want my monthly supply,
Still the cold chain and the shipping is just it's pretty cost prohibitive. We do have email, and you can follow us on Instagram and. We have on our website store locators, so you can find out where it's located.
Cool. Nice. Nice, nice, nice. All right, Matt, stick around. We're grabbing Bernadette, and we'll make it a gang. Boop. Watch. I'm going
to
do this.
Oh, no. Let's see. Yeah, everybody right in their place. You have to be right where you belong.
Oh, it just stands up, does its own thing.
Oh, your hair? Your hair is delightful.
Oh, my hair.
It's all of mine is, like, sad. Go back to bed.
I'm curious. One question I have for the both of you in general is just the whole notion of, running your own thing, going your own way. A multi-generation farmer says, I think I'm going to make yogurt. So I'm sure that a lot of family members went, what are you thinking over there, boss? And I think that, when Bernadette, did they also look at you that way? Did they say, like, what a crazy woman? Like, she's doing dance, she's doing rituals. She's like, have you been the crazy person in your family your whole life, or is this new?
I have a lot of crazy people in my family, so I didn't stand out.
Multi-generational.
I was the only crazy one dancing. They were playing instruments and things. I was the dancing crazy one. So,
you need a dancer if you're going to have a lot of people playing instruments.
Indeed. Yeah.
You do. But what about, I know that, so one of the things that matters a lot to you, Matt, is like health and sustainability and that kind of stuff. But what you eat and eating healthy food also affects your emotional well-being. So I'm seeing like ties in. So
absolutely. I think that's 100% true.
So I'm thinking those comfort foods are bad for us.
Yeah. If you eat chicken nuggets every day, I don't.
It's not going to help us with our grief.
Yeah. And one of the things we talk about after the grief ritual and just grounding in general is to be intentional about what you eat and what you put into your body. And I was just looking at, Matt's packaging. It's beautiful. It's beautiful and it's good for you. So the propensity to eat crap, because sometimes that comfort food feels good, but are you doing more damage? So I think something like what Matt is offering is just not only good for you, but it's appealing to when you see it.
And look at those peaches.
Yeah, I want some. Yeah. I want some. I bet it would go great with sausage.
So are you trying to intimate that maybe I shouldn't have devil dogs when I'm sad? Is that what you're going after?
No, I think you should have what you want. Okay. You should have what you want and some yogurt.
And some yogurt.
Yes.
Listen, devil dog in a yogurt? I'm thinking that.
It's a dip. It's yeah. It's a
dip. I saw a guy.
Hot dogs with the cheese inside. Maybe you just put the yogurt inside.
Oh, they have brats. There's brats with cheddar inside. Yeah, I saw a guy once take a devil dog and put Nutella on it. And I was like, this guy's got it all figured out. Like, his whole life's figured out.
And that's another one of Matt's enemies, because Nutella's made with hazelnuts. So,
yeah. Isn't it hard to, I know this is probably a little bit of a technical question, but I was under the impression that making almond milk is not an easy thing. That people are like, how many almonds does it take to make the almond milk? And how many bees were harmed in the making of this? Like, there's all that stuff. But I super love almond milk and I really want it. So I need you to tell me that it's okay.
No, it is. Almond milk is basically almond butter with water. That's how we're making our almond milk. I know people do it differently and they do fillers. But so, and I think almond milk a lot of times gets a bad rap. People say, a jug of almond milk has two almonds. We have 20 almonds approximately in every cup of our yogurt. So, and that's another thing, I think, just being honest, it's coming from our farm. We want to share it. We want it to taste like almonds. We don't want it to taste like water and fillers and thickeners.
Emulsifiers,
exactly. And from the bee standpoint, it's honestly similar to our company. We're working with a second generation beekeeper. It's the, we're working with the son of the father, and we've been working with him for about a quarter century. And same guy comes over. We just had bloom and pollination just ended about a month ago. It's the prettiest time in our area. The trees all turn white and it almost looks like it snows. So they just left and all the almonds are pollinated. Now they're growing quickly.
Coach Woodard wants to know, what about people with nut allergies? What do they do to be healthy? I mean, just don't eat devil dogs. Like, it's probably a good start. I don't know.
Hopefully it's not an almond allergy. Maybe it's just peanut. Peanut.
Right. Peanuts, yeah. Peanuts are like a ground legume and they're evil, and stop it. So you mentioned 25 years of bee relationship. Is your beekeeper Morgan Freeman?
No.
Because Morgan Freeman took his 124 acre, I guess it's in Mississippi, so probably not. He took his 124 acres and turned it into a bee sanctuary.
That's so cool.
because he got a little flipped out that there were so many bees dying, and he was like, oh, I don't know what I have this ranch for anyway. Bees. So he made it a bee ranch. So now God talks to bees directly. He like, cut out all the middlemen.
I clerked for a judge who was a beekeeper, and I was like, there's nothing friggin' scarier. Like, he's scary enough because he's very imposing on the bench that he'd go home and he'd have his big beekeeper outfit on and be making, you know, like visiting the hives and stuff. And I'm like, this is some scary shit. Like, this dude is scary. I wouldn't.
You know what? I was and Coach Wittered, it's all tree nuts, so he's doomed.
That's too bad.
Sorry. Well, no AO for you because it's full of real almonds. So you're
on the other hand.
Sausage. Carrie just wants to get those.
All you want. I do. How am I ever going to eat that much sausage? What am I going to do with them if you don't take it?
All right. So we have come to two things we have to do in the show. One is person of the day.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
I think by volume alone, I would give it to Bob Collins, but I imagine she's moved on. But I'm going to give it to Jess because she swung by. I haven't seen Jess on the show in a long, long time, and she really picked up that Bernadette and ran with it. So
you know, her plate is very full. So I'm.
Can you imagine
she came by for this one
being so many people's emotional anchor and then having to run into the.
No, I've structured my life to be almost no one's emotional anchor on purpose. You're on your own.
See you, kids.
Good luck.
Get a sandwich.
Well, no, I mean, the kids, like, I have to because it's like my responsibility, but nobody else, like other people. I'm like, that's a you problem.
You've got yogurt, you've got a spoon. Have a day. All right.
Want some sausage, I'll help you out.
That's right. Oh, Jess is still here. Love you back. So, listen, last question we ask every single guest. Now we're talking to Scott.
Yeah.
Of course, because Chloe, who knows so much about gut health, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. We ask every guest the same question. I've never done this show before. I'm reading a script. Never done it before. We ask all the guests the same question. What goes in your backpack?
What goes right now. In your backpack?
Now, it could be something physical, like an avocado, but it could be something emotional. Like hope. Carrie, what's a great physical thing that should go in a backpack?
Extra set of teeth.
These
are somebody else's answers.
And how about something metaphorical? What should go in there?
Hope is a good one, but also fearlessness. I like that one when someone said it before. Resilience. We've had a few. One person said pride, like pride in where you come from, which I thought was really, really interesting. He's an actor from Mexico City, and he's like, he wants to be on the world stage, but his identity as a Mexico City actor is important to him. So I love
that. No kindness, though. I'm
thinking. No, I'm over that.
So I will ask the Empress first. Bernadette Pleasant, what goes in your backpack?
She's like, AO yogurt.
Hugs.
I felt that one.
Yeah,
that was beautiful. You can tell you're a dancer. Like, even your hugs are really graceful.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna roll into that hug. And
my kids are gonna need therapy. I just go right in. I'm gonna work on my approach.
Let me hug you.
That's it.
Your hug's like a wrestler.
I've been spoken to.
All right, Matt Billings, I don't know. You're going to have to do your interpretive dance of something.
My sister was dancing.
He's trying to shift out of the sun.
I do love hugs. I think Bernadette needs to come when almonds are in bloom and dance in our fields. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
For me, I think just honesty. I mean, honesty to yourself, honesty to your friends, your family, your customers. That's what
it's a great answer. I want to ask you a question that it's out of format of the show because normally I'm just supposed to end the show now. Does it really like frost your muffins when you hear or see other people talking about things like with regards to food and you just know it can't be true? Like when you see ads or something like that, you're just like, this can't even be a thing.
It does.
Does that happen a bunch?
Yeah, that frustrates me a lot.
You know, like in The Simpsons, old man yells at cloud. You're like, that's not how it works. That kind of feeling. Yeah.
You don't have to tell me. I'm a lawyer. I get those questions all the time. I'll tell people, no, you can't use somebody else's copyrighted music on your website. And they're like, but everybody else does it. I'm like, don't care. It's hard to explain to them. Like, you're not going to get away with it forever. So I hear you. It's frustrating.
Everybody else jumped off a bridge.
Lawyers not big on hugs. That could be like a coincidence. We're very like drilled out of us. Like, don't touch other people without their consent.
Well, with consent. With consent.
Yeah, I need like a written
right. Consensual hugs are the best ones.
Yes, but Chris has a t-shirt that says free hugs. So I feel like that's open season.
Yeah.
I would go around to conferences with a t-shirt that said free hugs and I loved it a lot. And then every now and again, someone would be really clever and they'd wear a shirt that said hugs, $1.50.
Depends who the person is, whether they make a profit on that. Which one do they want? Yeah.
Hugs and Venmo.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Before you bring it in, I'm going to need to Venmo.
Yeah.
You know, I think what a day. I think we learned too much.
No, you know, my dad was like a really good hug giver. He would, if you hug my dad, he would just let you hold on as long as